news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Erwig in Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum is brought to you by Bryant Bank. And there he is, Paul Feinbaum. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. Can't believe it. We're at the end of the season.
Incredible. But the end of the season is usually the period at the end is the Iron Bowl. This time around, it looks like it's an exclamation point. What an amazing game. How are fans of both teams feeling after that game?
Well, it's interesting. I think Alabama fans are relieved and can't wait to get out of there and take on Georgia, even though that sounds funny. And I think Auburn fans are they will forever be trying to figure out how they lost the game. And I think there's some good reason for that. It was really just a collection of blunders by the Auburn coaching staff and players at the end of that game that cost them. A game that, you know, it's a cliche to say, well, they should have won. But in this case, they really should have won the game.
Yeah, you know, outside of something happening in a coach's personal life, I'm not sure I've seen fans sour on a new head coach as quickly as we saw with Harsin. I mean, 6-7 games in, they were in love with him. And then after that losing streak, it seems like, you know, Bobo's out, and the fans are wondering what's next. How long will Harsin be around?
Yeah, if you lose your first four games and then win out, fans love you. But when you are in College Station playing the biggest game of the country and you control your own destiny to get to the college football playoff and then you don't win again, it's a dramatic fall from grace. I was in Auburn Saturday, had a chance to sit down with Brian Harsin, and he was still, you know, he was saying all the right things, and had he won the game, I think everything would have been great. But it was a major blunder, and it's now, can you recruit? And the next 2 weeks will tell that, and if he can't bring in a big class, he's going to be a marked man.
It's amazing how all these coaches, the changes have got to come swiftly because of the early signing date, and we'll get into that in just a second. You know, Auburn, to me, Paul, when you assess them, you know, they don't have overwhelming talent as a pair, you know, when you compare them to some other SEC, the top of the class in the SEC. How in the world did they have that lead that far into the game? It's confounding to me that they were able to hold Alabama down like that.
Well, they did. They really took a page from the LSU and Texas A&M playbook, where they really beat Alabama on the line, and I think that's a problem for Alabama. Alabama, you can mask a lot when you have the best quarterback in the country, and you have, you know, elite wide receivers, and you have a defense where you can stop people. But, you know, ultimately, it's a trench warfare game, and I think we may look back on the season and go, how did Alabama win as many games as it did, because they're very weak up front.
Yeah, they sure are, and we've seen that this year. Dan mentioned earlier the coaching carousel and how coaches are moving earlier than ever, and obviously the big news was Brian Kelly moving from Notre Dame to LSU, and listening to LSU fans on your show this week, maybe at the very beginning some were not really feeling it, but you know, by Wednesday everyone was on board with that press conference.
Yeah, I think you could. I mean, I'll spare you the, you know, naming some of the worst figures in American and world history. But I think you could pretty much put anybody in a coaching position at any school, and fans in 2 days will fall in love with them. You know, the thing about Brian Kelly, I mean, he's not really a warm guy. He's from Boston. He's spent all his life in the Midwest, and he's somewhat of a cold figure on the sideline. So I think that's what people saw. I will say this, and yeah, I can be easily swayed sometimes when you're sitting there talking to somebody, but we had Kelly on our show on Wednesday, and you know, he did impress me. He's very smart. He knows how to articulate answers. And I think, you know, lost in all this is that he's a very good coach. You know, you just can't, you know, yeah, there are a lot of hot coaches with bad records. He's a guy with a record that very few can match.
How well will he do, Paul? And of course, the main thing that you focused on and others is that at LSU he's going to be able to get to, you know, the availability of players considering the admission standards at Notre Dame and maybe a few other factors. He's going to be able to get to, you know, some of the best talent in the country.
Exactly. Everyone recruits well at LSU unless you're just moronic, which Les Miles was. And yeah, all of a sudden, you know, Saban started coming into Louisiana, you know, which he had ties. But, you know, LSU should not lose players. You grow up in Baton Rouge or Shreveport or Viola Batre or wherever, and your dream is to play in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night. And that's really what he has going for him. And, you know, it depends on what kind of staff he puts in there. And now that Notre Dame is likely to replace Kelly with Marcus Freeman, who was mm-hmm. his defensive coordinator, he'll have to move quickly. He's not going to be able to bring many people from his staff, but I don't think that matters. He can keep a few people on board, and I think they'll recruit quite well.
And Kelly, so he's running into the cage match known as the SEC West, but you have Lincoln Riley. I don't know, was he running from the SEC or towards the Pac-12 or a bit of both?
I think he was running from Oklahoma. You know, I think he looked around and said, you know, I can bring elite quarterbacks in here, and you know, he's had two Heisman winners and a runner and a finalist. And I don't think he could accept that he was ever going to get enough players to compete with Alabama and Georgia and LSU. And I think that very similarly what Brian Kelly concluded. And you know, there's a lot of buzz out west. That's a Southern Cal is an Alabama-like program that's just been laying there for years with bad coaches. And now that I don't remember a coach who landed someplace that's created as much excitement. So yeah, did he want to play in the SEC? Probably not. Do I blame him for taking $100 million and going to California? No, I probably would have done the same thing.
So Florida's got their coaching situation settled. I don't know what the level of excitement is around Napier. Nothing like Lincoln Riley at USC. Are there going to be any other like SEC coaches on the move?
At this point, I don't think so. Yeah, I say that because there's still dominoes to fall. There's not as many. Oklahoma is the opening that most of the eyes are on, and that will create another opening somewhere. And you know, there could be some other possibilities, but I don't see anyone in the SEC right now that is likely to leave.
And of course, we have the big conference championship games this weekend, and the number one being the SEC championship game. I'm sure that Gators defense was licking their chops watching what Auburn did to that Bama offense. Could it possibly be that easy? It seems like Alabama, just off of the last decade and a half, they have to have something up their sleeve, right?
Yeah, but I'd like to know what that is. I think Georgia, you know, could walk into this game, could sleepwalk into this game. You don't know. And I'll spare you cliches, cause I've heard enough this week. You don't know what, you can't ever bet against Nick Saban. Well, okay. I know. And quite frankly, I don't know if I ever have bet against Nick Saban, but there's always a first. And, I've looked at every angle, and other than hope, I don't see one.
Yeah, I from people who are analysts, I've just kind of followed what they've had to say this week, and for a lot of them, they really feel like Georgia will not just win this game, but dominate this game. That's a little surprising to me. How do Alabama fans feel about this game?
Well, I think they hear the same thing. But you guys know Alabama fans. You live in Alabama. And I think there's always that, okay, we'll figure it out. We have Nick. I don't think any of them – every time I ask one of these fans to explain, they don't. But I just think they've watched this season unfold where the Florida win nearly got away and Tennessee and LSU and Auburn. And I just feel like, you know, there's just confidence in this program. And I don't think it hurts when you have the best quarterback in the country and the best defensive player in the country in Will Anderson and Bryce Young. So, I mean, there is a lot of hope there. The thing that concerns me the most is Alabama has no running game and no offensive line. And, okay, well, that's not a problem, is it? Well, yes, it is because of this reason. Georgia has the best defensive front I may have ever seen.
Wow, yeah. And, you know, the big question, has Jameson Williams' days as a gunner on the punt team ended? Any chance he lines up out there on fourth down when they punt? No?
No, I don't think that's a good risk. I mean, if he was missing part of this game, I'd be even less confident. But I just I know that these conclusions are predictable, but I think you have to look at it that way.
Paul, thanks again for your time, and I will see you in Atlanta.
I can't wait, guys, and it has been a real pleasure this year conversing about these games.
Thank you so much, Paul. We've appreciated it.
Thanks, guys.